Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Lord, with you,
Lord. Jesus rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, I give you praise, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for although you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, you have revealed them to the childlike. Yes, Father, such has been your gracious will. All things have been handed to me by my Father. No one knows who the Son is except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wishes to reveal him. Turning to the disciples in private, he said, Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I say to you, many prophets and kings desired to see what you see, but didn't see it, and to hear what you hear, but didn't hear it. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today we see Jesus's exuberant joy at the beginning of the Gospel. He rejoiced in the Holy Spirit. And then he cried out what was the source of his joy. He praised his Father, the Lord of heaven and earth, for revealing the secrets of his kingdom to the childlike, to those who trust in God as a Father, to those who are simple, to those who don't try to make everything complicated so that they can find an exception for themselves. He rejoiced that that was the Father's gracious will, that just as the Father had handed all things over to him, so he was able to share that goodness with those who were childlike enough to accept it, that he had revealed the most important things of all, who the Father is, who the Son is, and in that dual mystery, who we are, for childlike enough to accept it. Jesus went on to say to his disciples, Blessed are your eyes and blessed are your ears. So many of the greatest figures of the Old Testament had longed for this day, to see what you see, to hear what you hear, to have the revelation, in other words, that you have now received. How much more would Jesus rejoice over our situation? We not only have a chance to see the Lord, to hear his words, but we have something that at this point, when Jesus was speaking to the disciples, they would have never even dreamed of. We have a chance to touch Jesus. We have a chance to be touched by him. We have a chance to become one with him through Holy Communion, in a communion that far exceeds the union of a husband and a wife. That's what should fill us with joy. St. John the Apostle wrote in his first letter as the introduction to the Christians of why he wanted to share the gospel. He said, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have heard with our ears, what we have touched with our hands about the word of life, we proclaim to you so that you might have communion with God and communion with us. Today, as we are on this second day of this first week of Advent, we're called to ponder Jesus' joy, how he wants us to be filled with that joy, and how we're called to bring that joy to others. He rejoiced in the Holy Spirit because he had the incredible opportunity to share the most important truths of all. And as Pope Francis reminded us a week ago, our Christian joy is directly proportional to how we share that joy with others, how we share the gospel, that good news of great joy. The first reading today, in that great prophecy of Isaiah, we see how the Spirit would rest upon Jesus, that shoot from the stump of Jesse. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, not just kind of hover for a little bit, but totally rest in him. Spirit of wisdom, understanding, counsel, strength, knowledge, and awe of the Lord. In his delight, his joy should be this fear of the Lord. When Jesus preached for the first time, he went to his hometown synagogue of Nazareth, and he said, with the words of the prophet Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And He's anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor, liberty to captives, sight to the blind, release to prisoners, and to proclaim a year of favor for the Lord. Likewise, the same Spirit that rested on Him rests on us. Same Holy Spirit that inspired Mary and the apostles to burst forth from the closed doors of the upper room to proclaim the gospel and bring this joy to the nations, that same powerful Holy Spirit rests on us through baptism and confirmation. And our joy needs to be that same joy to be able to share that faith, share this incredible gift. Today we celebrate the memorial of St. Francis Xavier, the greatest missionary in the history of the Church, after Jesus Himself and after St. Paul. He used to write the letters when he had gotten to India of how his hand was about to fall off because he was baptizing so many people in the same day. Tens of thousands, literally, he would be baptizing. And just that gesture of bringing them to the water and that simple little action almost made his hands want to fall off because he'd been doing it. And he wrote a letter back to St. Ignatius, the founder of the Jesuits, saying, "If only I could go to the Sorbonne, the greatest university in the world at the time in Paris, where he and Ignatius and the original Jesuits had gone and met. If only I could go to the Sorbonne and say, 'Do you not realize so many people don't yet know Jesus Christ, and yet we're going on with business as usual?'" Created an incredible storm in the Church as people started to read his passion to spread the faith, and they started to say, "Where's my passion?" So people all over the place started to join the Jesuits in order to be able to carry the good news of Jesus to others. The beginning of today's liturgy, we prayed that opening prayer which said, "Heavenly Father, may we be filled with that same zeal for spreading the faith that marked St. Francis Xavier." He was filled with the Holy Spirit. He rejoiced to share the faith. And he wanted to convey to others the incredible gift that he himself had seen with his eyes, heard with his ears, touched with his hands, that he was trying to proclaim to them. In this apostolic exhortation a week ago, Pope Francis has reminded all of us that the Church is a mission. The Church exists to spread the faith. The Church calls every son and daughter not just to have a mission, but to recognize that the only reason why they exist, the only reason why we're alive, is because we are the continuation of Christ's mission. That it's not just an added obligation for us to spread the faith, but that's our real identity, to spread the love of Jesus, to spread the joy that comes from knowing Him and being known by Him. The first Mass, Jesus said, "I no longer call you slaves, because a slave doesn't know what his master's about. I have called you friends, because I have revealed to you everything I have heard from my Father." Jesus revealed that gift to us, not only for the sake of our salvation, because Jesus was revealing it to us not so that we could selfishly hoard it and keep it to ourselves, but precisely so that we could share that great news of tremendous joy with all that we meet. St. Francis Xavier had 46 chromosomes, just like we do. St. Francis Xavier had to go to the bathroom. He needed to eat. He needed to sleep. He was just as human as each of us is. And yet, he brought two whole countries to Jesus. And if he had survived a little bit longer, would have brought China to the gospel as well, I'm totally convinced. He's the patron of the missions. And considering that the church is a mission, and that Fall River is now mission territory, with so few really practicing the Christian faith, he's our patron too, interceding for us from heaven, so that we might remember that we are filled with the same Holy Spirit that allowed him to do so much. The Holy Spirit that wants to make us rejoice and spread that joy. May we correspond to the graces that he is interceding for us right now to receive with the same cooperation and docility with which he did and changed the world for the better. Saint Francis Xavier, pray for us.